Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned to this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be coming to you today right here over WMAF. We are so glad for those of you in Madison and North Florida that have been listening to this wonderful station. Good gospel music has been playing. And now we're going to bring you the good gospel, give you the reason for why they rejoice like they do. They have such hope. These are songs of joy and hope in a day of trouble, in a day that is turbulent, in a day where there's so much uncertainty. We're coming to declare to you today, amen, the certainty and the truth of God's word. We pray it'll find a target in your heart, in your life. And if you're listening today and you don't know Jesus, you've obviously been listening to the gospel in song. Now hear it in word. Praise God. Hear the reason for all of these songs of joy and hope and triumph today. Oh, the Christian faith isn't one to sing the blues to. This is one to sing the mighty songs of victory and triumph in Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're excited about this message today, but just before we go back to the scripture to talk about the subject, Jesus is alive and well, that we began last week, let me invite you to come to our website if you would like to download any recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus, any sermons that are there that were taped live in our church services. You are welcome with no strings attached. If you'd just like to know more about us, see our statement of faith, you're welcome to come to our website. And all you have to do is type in THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God. It's just a very simple way, particularly on Google, one of the largest search engines out there, if not the largest. Type in THCOG, and you can come to our website. I was informed that recently there were 12 or 15 downloads of one of the Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast in Korea, and we're so grateful for people coming to our website from all over the world. We've had recent hits from Hollywood, California, from Virginia. We've had hits from Washington, D.C. and New York City. So we are very grateful for the people who are coming here. We've had hits from Africa, Borneo, the United Kingdom, England, and we're just grateful to know that people are discovering our website and the sermon material that is there. It is free, no strings attached. We have been commissioned by the Lord to take the gospel to the world, and we're based right here in Tampa, Florida, but through the stations like WMAF and through the World Wide Web, we're able to keep the Great Commission to preach the gospel to every creature. Praise the Lord. So we're going to bring you the gospel today. By the way, gospel means good news, basically. And I want you to know that we've got good news in the Word of God, that you can be saved, you can be sealed by the Holy Spirit, you can be kept. Amen. God will keep you, and He will absolutely secure His people through these troubled times. There's no doubt in my mind, because Jesus is alive and well, that we have nothing to fear. Praise God. No matter what the future holds. You know why? Because He holds our future, because He holds us in His hand. Praise God. If you have your Bible, would you go back with me to the book of Revelation, and let's read verse 18. This is the text, the context. If you want to read it in context later, is Revelation 1:10-18. Jesus appearing initially to John. He's going to give him the revelation on the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard a voice, turned and saw Jesus. And this is what Jesus said concerning himself in verse 18. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. I like the Amplified, because he says, I am the ever-living one. I am living in the eternity of eternities. Friend, that's where we're going to live with him. Praise God. I died, But see, I am alive forevermore, and I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Now, we talked about last week that Jesus' resurrection, him being alive and conquering death, proved Christ to be the Son of God. Amen. And it proved, secondly, that all his teachings and claims were true. And thirdly, it proved that death could not hold Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter talked about that matter, and he said in Acts 2:24 that it was impossible that Christ could be held down by death. The idea is that death could not restrain or master the Lord Jesus Christ. Death could not master Jesus because he has all power. Our Savior can and did break the bonds of death and the grave. And I want to make a statement in light of that today. All Christian victory, and I mean all of it, is based on Christ's victory over death. The resurrection of Jesus provides for you and me a great source of gladness and hope that nothing can conquer or take away. There were no what ifs about his resurrection, for Peter said it was impossible for death to hold him. It was planned in eternity past that the Lord Jesus would not only die, but that he would not stay in the grave in defeat. Christ was destined to rise in victory and glory. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 54, at beginning the reading, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise God. It proved that Jesus Christ can raise our bodies from the ground and deliver our souls from death. Listen, physical death is on the trail of every one born of Adam's race. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. If Christ does not come soon, many of us will face physical death. However, Jesus has come forth from death, and there is no doubt that he can raise us. 1 Corinthians 6:14 declares, "And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power." I love Romans chapter 8. It says, "If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you," praise God, "amen, he shall also quicken or give life to your mortal body." Hallelujah. We have a great hope, friend, that death and the grave cannot and will not conquer. For our hope is in Christ, that if death couldn't conquer him, and he promised us that he would raise us up by the same power, hallelujah, we have no doubt at all about our future, where we're going to spend eternity, and especially that death is not a period in the life of a Christian. It's only a comma. Hallelujah. Amen. I love 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. It said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are asleep." This word asleep is the word that was used for death in 1 Thessalonians. Jesus used that term because he didn't ever see death as a conqueror, because he was the resurrection and the life. So when Lazarus was really, really sick unto death, amen, they asked Jesus to come and visit Lazarus and heal him and raise him up. And Jesus was preaching. He kept right on preaching in another province. And finally they came and said, Lazarus has died. And he told the disciples, Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples said, if he sleepeth, he doeth well. Some of you out there know exactly what we're talking about. When you get bone tired, if you're able to go to sleep and rest, or if you've been very, very sick and in pain or discomfort and you're able to slip into a deep sleep, you do well. And then he spoke to them plainly, it said, and said, he is dead. Because we don't see death like God sees it. God doesn't see death for the believer as something that is final. He sees it as simply a little bump in the road. In fact, God sees it as an entrance in to the eternal kingdom of God. Hallelujah. A literal entrance, not just a spiritual entrance into that kingdom. Praise God. And that kingdom is eternal. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, and this is how crucial the resurrection of Jesus is to our faith, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I am so comforted today to know that my loved ones who have believed on Jesus preceded me in death, that they are waiting on the other side. That's not just wishful thinking. That's not just some kind of panacea because we can't face the reality and the finality of death. I want you to know our faith embraces eternity today. Every leader of every, without exception, world religion is dead. If you go India, you're going to go to the Ganges River, where it's believed that the ashes of Buddha were sprinkled into that river. If you go to Mecca, as many pilgrims of Islam do, you will find there, they believe, the body of Muhammad is. But if you go to Jerusalem, Buddha's dead, Muhammad's dead, Lenin. We don't call it religion, but it's the religion of atheism. Lenin is it lying in state, Marx and Lenin in Red Square, their bodies. But if you go to the holy city, if you go, amen, to the Middle East searching for the body of Jesus, you will find no body. You will find no bones. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And because he conquered death, we will live forever. He said at the tomb of Lazarus, you know, the finality of death, they knew Jesus was a miracle worker. They knew Jesus was awesomely anointed of God. But Lazarus was dead. And when they got there, Lazarus' sister Mary came out and she said, Jesus, if you had been here, if you had just come when we called you, you could have prayed for him, but it's too late. He's dead. He's dead. If you had just come, Jesus. And Jesus turned around and calmly said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Believest thou this? He says. And then he says, and he that liveth and believeth in me, he will never die. I'm one of those people who believe in Jesus Christ. Does that mean I'm never going to taste death? No, it means I'm not going to taste that finality of the second death, where I'm banished from God's presence and punished. No, I will never taste that finality of the second death. I will come up in the first resurrection And the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death has no power. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be there at the great white throne judgment, where the second death takes place, where men and women are consigned to a place of banishment and punishment throughout all eternity and will live there forever. There's a resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. This resurrection is not just to give us life eternal, but to give us life eternal in heaven with him forever, with a body just like his glorious body. Hallelujah. Praise God. It proved that God has conquered death for each and every one that puts our trust in him. And it also proved that Jesus Christ has the power to save us. If he's raised from the dead himself, then he can bring a spiritual resurrection in the heart of every believing and the life of every believing sinner. The Bible says that we've been seated in heavenly places in the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We can stake our lives on the sure promise of Jesus when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. We can stake our eternal destiny on the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, Jesus walked to the tomb of Lazarus and he said, roll away the stone. And they said, Lord, come on now. By now he stinketh. He's been in there for 3 days. And Jesus said, did not I say unto thee, if thou would believe, thou couldst see the glory of God? Not just believe, amen, that the dead could be raised, but believe that Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life, the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He that believes in me, Jesus said, will live even though he dies. In John 11:25, the death of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and his living in us by the Holy Spirit constitutes God's great act of redemption. Jesus' death paid the penalty of sin and reconciled us unto God our Father. And by his resurrection, Jesus proved he was God incarnate, God in the flesh, and that he would resurrect his people to immortal, eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, I want you to know today that this gospel is filled with mighty power. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read you a statement, and this is a great statement. Easter. And you say, Pastor, you're talking about resurrection, and it's Easter's a long way off. I want you to listen very carefully to me. Amen. Easter is the great holy day of Christianity. And theologically speaking, Christmas can't hold a candle to Easter. Easter affirms that a first century teacher and healer and prophet named Jesus, who was God's son, was betrayed and abused and died horribly on the cross. And he rose to live again and to become both Lord and Savior. This is the central message of Christianity. This is the story which spread through the ancient Middle East like wildfire, eventually transforming the whole Roman Empire, which had been ruled in the Israel of Jesus' time. And by our day, Christianity has become the largest religion in the world. Easter is absolutely central to Christianity. And when I say Easter, I'm not talking about the rabbit. I'm not talking about the eggs. I'm talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has been raised is the foundational affirmation of the New Testament. It would have been enough that there was yet another teacher and healer and prophet running around Israel. It would never have been enough to spawn a religion that was so hated persecuted. It wasn't welcomed with open arms. What caused it to transcend all of the hate and persecution? Because within it was the promise of everlasting life, validated by the resurrection of its leader, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every other leader of every world religion, without exception, is dead. The leader of Christianity is alive forever. Jesus, friend, is alive and well. Over 2,000 years since his crucifixion and his dead body being placed in a tomb sealed, Jesus is raised from that tomb. He has ascended on high. He has led captivity captive. Praise God. He's conquered death and Hades. The good news, the important news, the transformational news, respond to a whole new religion, is the news of Jesus' resurrection. And through his resurrection, he turned the tragedy of the cross into a triumph. Praise God. Amen. In Galatians 3 and verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of a law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Today, the cross is the last place the Jewish culture of Christ's day would look for the Messiah. Anyone hanged on a tree in any form was considered to be cursed by God. Judas hung himself on a tree. No one was surprised. Christ, the Messiah, hanged on a cross, and it was a scandalous, scandalous thing. We sing a song sometimes, or we listen to it sung, called On That Beautiful, Scandalous Night. Friend of mine, I want you to know, Jesus turned the tragedy of the cross into a triumph through his resurrection, not only for himself, but for you and for me and as many as would believe upon him. I want to ask you a question today. What are your plans after death? What I know you've got a lot of plans for your life, but what are your plans? What about your life has caused you to think about when it stops, and it can stop so abruptly? Here in Tampa recently, a tragedy took place because a family reunion was taking place in our city. And three sons and came to visit their dad, brought their families. And what a day it was. The mother and the daughter-in-laws all went out to see a movie. They really enjoyed it. They came home, and the guys decided to go see the movie. A dad and three grown sons went to see the last showing of a movie to have some fun and fellowship together. On the way home from that movie, doing everything right, abiding by all the traffic laws, about 1 o'clock in the morning, a car with a young man inebriated in it ran a red light at 80 miles an hour, struck their car, and killed a dad and his three sons. And a wife, and lost her husband, and her daughter-in-laws lost their husband. She lost her sons. If there isn't something beyond this old world, Paul said, even if we believe on Christ, if it stops with death, we're of all men most miserable. If you've lost a mama you love, a daddy you love, and they've trusted Christ as their Savior, isn't it good to know? That's an understatement. That's a terrible understatement. I apologize. Good doesn't do justice to this knowledge. It is joy, unspeakable and full of glory, to know that that grave is not going to hold them And that this isn't the final event of their life. The final event is going to be when that grave pops open. Amen. We used to sing that great Christian song. In our little church, we sang it. It was a black spiritual, and thank God for that culture giving us this song. On that great getting up morning, fare thee well, fare thee well. Ah, there's no faith like this, because the Christian faith embraces the fact that death will not have the final say, because Jesus conquered death. Those who trust him are going to conquer it as well. And on that great getting up morning, hallelujah, friend of mine, amen, there's coming a great getting up morning. I'm from the mountains. I've lived my life in Florida. I guess I got sand in my shoes and stayed here. Got sand in my booties. Actually, I was here since I was 14 months old. But every time we went back to Kentucky. One of the songs that came out of those mountains was "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." Praise God. I'll tell you, I was real self-conscious when I became a Christian, but I remember one night in church, a man came, an evangelist, sang that song, and it just hit me that death and hell and the grave had been conquered through Jesus Christ. Amen. That we didn't have to fear the future. We didn't have to fear the judgment to come. We didn't have to fear the grim reaper. Glory be to God. All he could do is escort us into the presence of God. And I remember standing up and shouting, hallelujah. Amen. It's enough to make you want to shout, isn't it? Thank God I was in a church that everybody didn't get upset when I got excited about being raised from the dead and about Jesus' resurrection and about what salvation really, really means. Now, friend of mine, what is your plan? What is your plan? You just don't want to face death without a plan. And that plan needs to include the forgiveness of sins and the certain hope of the resurrection, so that you won't fear that day. When it comes or how it comes, you'll be ready, praise God, because you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Right now, where you are, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you, would you confess that you're a sinner? We all did. We've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. It won't surprise God. He sent his Son to save sinners, to seek us out, to die, that he might forgive us. Would you ask him to forgive your sin? Would you repent? Be willing to turn from your sin? I'm not saying you can do that in yourself, but you can will it and trust God for it. God can do in you what you could never do in yourself. Would you do something else today? Would you accept Christ right now as your Lord and your personal Savior? If you do that, today is the day that death, the second death, the eternal banishment from the presence of God, the eternal punishment. Today, all of that is conquered. Satan is conquered. The prison bars will not hold you. Amen. And heaven's gates will open to you today. Hallelujah. Would you pray the sinner's prayer? It's been prayed a million different ways, but it always includes Jesus as our Savior. Ask him into your heart today. And if you're a Christian, today rejoice that death has been conquered. Live in the victory that is yours in Jesus Christ. And come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.